Heavenly Father, we are asking you to work in our hearts now, and we are asking you to ignite within us a desire to know you for ourselves, not just to hear about you, not just to know of you, not just to believe that you are out there somewhere, but Lord, would you ignite in my heart and in the heart of each one of these teenagers here a desire to know you for ourselves, with our own eyes and ears of our heart, that we would experience and know you for ourselves. And Lord, would you work in our hearts now to do that? And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The theme that I'm kind of walking through here is that you were made by God and loved by God to know God. The idea is not that we meet Jesus one time and say, thank you so much, Jesus. I really appreciate it. And now I'm kind of on with the rest of my life. Meeting Jesus is something that when it happens to you, you desperately want to stay near him. You want to know him for yourself. A.W. Tozer says it this way: God communicates with us through the avenues of our minds, our wills, and our emotions. The continuous and unembarrassed interchange of love and thought between God and the soul of the redeemed man is the throbbing heart of New Testament religion. So there you see soul, you see mind, will, and emotions. And the way that we experience and know the love of Christ is in the Word of God. It's not just some generic feeling that comes to us occasionally. It is something that happens through the Bible. So the question is, how do we get there, right? How do we stay at the feet of Jesus? How do we look in the mirror in the morning and see someone who God loves? Because we don't do it naturally, right? You don't wake up in the morning with this deep desire to know God for yourself. You don't have knowing God as a key part of your identity already. So how do we get this identity of somebody who knows that they're made by God, who knows that they're loved by God, and who wants to know God? Well, one way that you could say it is a song that you guys already know. If you know it, sing it with me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Guys, I have no idea how in the world we ever came up with the idea that that was a song for kids. I guess it's the tune. Maybe one of you guys can write a different tune to it. Those words are the words that we need every single day of our life. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. The way that you know the love of God and you start to see yourself as someone who is loved by God is by being in the Word of God. There's a story about a 12-year-old boy in the early 1800s who lived way out from any town. And one day, word trickled down to where they lived that the circus was coming to town. And this was the 1800s. This boy had never heard or seen of anything like a circus. He could only imagine how amazing it would be. And even though they were a poor family, his dad gave him the quarter that he needed to get in and see the circus and sent him on his way to go see the circus for the very first time. The boy got closer and closer to the town, and he saw the big tent, and he was getting there just in time when the circus was starting. The parade was going into the circus for it to start. And the little boy stood outside, and he saw the animals in cages. He saw the clowns go by. He saw the musicians go by. And when they had all gone past him, the little boy ran up to the last clown in the parade, handed him his quarter, and went home. He thought that was the circus. It was the most amazing thing he'd ever seen. He thought he had seen it all, and he went back home. I think that that illustration gives us an idea of how many of us have only scratched the surface of God's word. We know just enough about it to think that we've got enough of it. And instead of going in to find out what it's really all about, instead of parking there with our hearts and our souls like we're supposed to, we know just a little bit of it. And unfortunately, it's the little bit of it that we know that makes us think that it's enough, that that's all we need. If we are going to see ourselves as people who are known by God and loved by God, it's going to be because we stay in God's word. And in James chapter 1, it gives us three ways that we can stay in God's word. Three ways that we can fill our life with the Bible. The first one is that you fill your life with God's word humbly. James 1:21, it says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." You see those words, superfluity of naughtiness. They're definitely not words that we use anymore today. But superfluity, if you think about it, you know what it means. You say something is superfluous, it just means it's extra. It's remaining. And naughtiness is just another word. It's a King James word for sin. Filthiness, wickedness. So the very first part of filling your life with God's word and filling your life with God's word humbly is sometimes recognizing that you have sin in your life that remains. You have to lay apart that. You have to get that out of your life. And you know that there's a lot of times in your life when you don't feel like reading your Bible. And the reason is because you're really not walking with God. You have sin in your life that you know about and that you're tolerating. And so because of that, you don't have a desire to be in the Bible. So that's not the only reason. It's not something there's other reasons at times why we struggle to read the Bible. But if you have no desire in your heart for God's word, one possibility is that you are keeping sin inside your heart. The word here, it says to lay apart. It comes across in the English a lot more kind of casual, like kind of like lay that aside if you get a chance. In the original, it's the word for strip off. It's for like ripping something off as fast as you can. Like if you spilled acid on something and you needed to get it off because it was going to burn your skin, it's that kind of active, urgent thing that you would do. And so that's one part. The reason sometimes that we're not really staying in God's word like we're supposed to, and we're not getting anything out of it, we're not interested in reading more, is simply just we have sin that we're letting stay in our life. Here's the second reason that it says there. It says that we don't fill our life with God's word because of pride. It says we should receive with meekness the word implanted. A lot of times, the reason, I know that in my Christian life, for a lot of times, the reason that I was reading the Bible because I knew I was supposed to. I'm supposed to read my Bible. I felt guilty if I didn't read my Bible, but that was it. This verse says that you're supposed to receive with meekness the engrafted word. In other words, you don't read the Bible because you're supposed to. You read the Bible because you need to. You realize you need help. You're not going to see that you're made by God and loved by God on your own. You're not going to know what you're supposed to do by yourself. You need the word of God. James says here that this is the word which is able to save our souls. This is the word that when you heard it for the first time, or for the first time as a believer, you realized you needed to be saved, that you needed God to rescue you from your sin, like we talked about. But it's the same word that stays in your life, that keeps saving you. It keeps sanctifying you. You need it every day of your life. You need it through trials and temptations. So it's not something that you do because you have to or because you're supposed to. It's something that you do because you see your own need for it. So, and James says that this is the engrafted or the implanted word of God. It's something that's stuck in you. There was years ago, there was a cleanup in our neighborhood. And I decided we would take a couple kids from youth group there. It kind of seemed like a good thing to go out and do with the community. And when we got there, it was kind of weird. We were the only people there from the neighborhood. It was all these big buses of people. I don't know where they came from, the long ways from where we lived, that they came there to do a cleanup at our park in our neighborhood. And so we were supposed to be doing this like weeding. It was a big section there in the back, all sorts of garbage, strange stuff that we were finding and pulling out. And while we were, as part of the instructions they gave us, they told us what plants were native and which ones were, what did they call it, foreign or invasive. Yeah, that was the word, yeah. So there was like this, like, so they said there were all this plants, dirt, all this stuff back here, and they were like, don't take these out. These are the natives, and then these are the invasives. So, you know, I'm not a big gardener, and if you would have seen all the trash that was back there, you would not have been worried about invasive plants. That was not the issue. But I was standing with one of the kids from the youth group, and he took out a tree out of the ground that was like maybe about this high, and he handed it to me, like, what are we supposed to do with this? And I was like, I don't know. And right as he handed it to me, this guy that was leading it, that had given the instructions, came running up. And he was like, that's a native. That's a native. And he grabbed it out of my hand. He set it down somewhere. He got a shovel. And he started digging frantically. Like the life of the tree. You know, like you could hear the tree flatlining. You know, like you had to get it. Like it only had seconds. He was puffing and puffing. And we, and the kids from our youth group, were just standing there watching this guy dig. It was super awkward. And while he got done, he stuck back in there. He patted it down. And then he's like, all right, let's be more careful next time, guys. And went away. I have no idea why that guy was so concerned with natives versus invasives, but we should be just as concerned as that guy is with what's planted in our hearts, right? Like, remember the verse in Proverbs, keep your heart with all diligence? Like, what are you letting put its roots down into your heart? It's so easy to let the things in this life, whether it's our own ideas for our career, it could be our own things that we enjoy, it can just be things we have to get done. It can be a lot of really good things. I'm not saying bad things can take root in our heart too. There's a lot of different sinful things that can, like bitterness and lust and all these different things that will just grow over your heart until there's and just destroy you. But a lot of times for a lot of us, it's pretty good things. It can even be doing a lot of the good things for the Lord that you're doing, but getting those things done and doing the things that you're supposed to do really start to take over your heart more than receiving the implanted word into your heart. So that's the first thing. You need to fill your life with God's word humbly. Second, I want you to see in these next couple verses that you need to fill your life with God's word carefully. James 1, 22 through 24, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We have to be really careful because the Bible isn't just a book that you need to hear, it's a book that you need to obey. And look at what James says in this verse. It's surprising, and we need to hear this. James says, if you are a hearer of the word only, you are deceived. And I don't know about you, but my tendency is to think that if I am going to church, if I am reading my Bible, I'm probably doing okay, right? That would be my own tendency to think. Going to church? Are you reading your Bible? Yep, reading my Bible. That's good. But James actually says, if that's the case for you, you're actually deceived. He doesn't say, hey, you're halfway there. Good job so far. He says, you're actually deceived. You are supposed to be obeying what you read. You're supposed to be finding things as you read it that are changing your life, or else we're being deceived. The Bible isn't just a book for you to know about. It's a book that tells us how to live each day. It's a light for your path. It's water for your soul. It's a hammer to your heart. It's the bread for your life. It's a book that it impacts you. This is a book that makes up your identity. You are someone who needs the word of God, and you are someone who obeys the word of God. So that means that we have to be very aware of the danger every single time we read God's word or hear God's word that we can walk away and not be changed at all. Because like I say, my tendency is to think, of course, now, I mean, I can say I'm preaching a sermon, right? I can preach a sermon, but if I don't walk away and say, what do I need to change as a result of these words that I've just preached on, I can wake up in the morning and read my Bible like I'm supposed to, but if I don't walk away from it thinking, here's how I can put this into practice, here's how I can change my life because of this, then I'm in danger. And so we need to approach God's word with that attitude and with that mentality. Here's some questions you could just ask yourself. It might help you with this. When is the last time that you changed something in your life because of the Bible? This is just a paraphrase of the question that's actually in the book that you guys are going to get called 10 Questions to Diagnose Your Spiritual Health. It's a great little book, and you're going to enjoy it. But one of the questions in there, just ask the question, when's the last time you changed something in your life because of the Bible? Like, if we're saying this is the book that tells us how to live, we should be going to it frequently, and it should be adjusting things that we are doing, ways that we're thinking. When's the last time that you went to the Bible for direction about something? A lot of times our very first reaction with things that we struggle with and circumstances that we're confronted with is not to go and think, what does the Bible say about this? Somebody said something to me, or I had an argument with my parents, or I'm worried about something that's going to happen later. The Bible addresses all those things. The Bible tells us what to do in those situations. So we should get ourselves in the habit of, before even maybe you go to your friends, maybe before you go to your, you guys are getting old enough, maybe even before you go to your parents, what does the Bible say about this? If you don't know what the Bible says about this, you guys probably have a lot of good study tools and stuff that would teach you. You can, but a lot of times you can go to somebody and ask them, like, what does the Bible say about this situation? And somebody can show you and point that out to you. You can ask for help just in understanding what the Bible says. There's going to be times when you're reading stuff and you're sitting there thinking, I don't think I really know what this means. I'm missing this. And you can ask the godly people in your life to help you. But if the Bible isn't changing you, if it isn't changing how you live, James gives us this illustration of somebody that looks in the mirror and then walks away. Somebody who looks and sees what needs to change, says, oh yeah, that doesn't look good, but then doesn't change it and walks away the same. So we have to read God's word, not just humbly, but we have to read God's word carefully. And then the last thing I just want to share with you guys is you need to fill your life with God's word consistently. James 1:25, whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, that's the scriptures, and continues therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So here again, you see this this idea of somebody who is not in God's word just a little bit, right? It's not just kind of skimming over the surface of the Bible. It says who continues therein. Somebody who abides in it. It's somebody who's planted in the word. Not somebody that just shows up and sees the beginning of the parade, but somebody who goes inside and sees it all. So James here calls this somebody who looks into the perfect law of liberty. And the Bible is perfect. The Bible is the perfect revelation of God. It's the perfect way to fight temptation. It's the perfect help that you need in trials. It's the perfect place to see God's goodness. And this law, that James calls it the law of liberty. A really interesting term for the Bible, because we normally think law and liberty are opposing things, right? We think, no, like law, oh, that doesn't sound good at all, but liberty, oh, that sounds good, you know, freedom. But God's word is the place that you find real freedom. By living the, here it's called, this, James says, this man should be blessed in his deed. That idea of that word blessing there is the completeness, the wholeness that you are after in life, right? And that's where real liberty is in following God and in living life the way that God has called you to live and seeing yourself for who you really are. That blessed life is a, go back to one of my earlier illustrations of, you know, it's Buzz Lightyear once he really learns who he is, right? Life starts to all fit into place. He has purpose. He has a community. He knows who he is. He knows what he's supposed to do versus what he was like before. That's the blessed life. And it's all found in this marvelous, mysterious book called The Law of Liberty. That is what is going to change us. But James says here that we have to stay in God's word consistently. He said, whoever continues therein. So let me give you a couple of different ways that you can continue in God's word, that you can be consistent in it. One way that you can do it is to stay in God's word mentally. Psalm 119:97, oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all day long. So one of the ways that you stay in God's word is that you think about it as much as you can. Everybody here knows what it's like to worry about something. No one here ever had to teach you how to worry. You know, make sure you keep thinking about it over and over again. It's kind of like this. No, we naturally know how to worry, right? So we already know how to meditate. It's just that we typically meditate on negative things, on problems, and on fears, instead of meditating on the truth of God's word. So part of what you're doing in the morning, assuming that's when you're doing your Bible reading, you don't have to, maybe the evening's better for some people, but whatever your time is in God's word, you're looking for something that you can meditate on during the day. It's not that you're just trying to look for something you can say, all right, I did that. Oh, man, that's done. I'm glad I feel good. At least I read my Bible today. You're looking for something that you can meditate on as the day goes on. And a lot of times, the reason that the word isn't really impacting our life is that we're really not thinking on it very much. We're not meditating on it like God's word calls us to. The other way that you can stay in God's word is you stay in God's word daily. You have to have a consistent plan to soak in the Bible. If you think about it, every single thing that you have done that's meaningful or important at all as an accomplishment in your life, it's something that you have done consistently. You learned how to read because consistently someone sat down and taught you your letters and your vowels and how they all fit together. It didn't happen in one day, right? A lot of you guys play instruments, which is awesome. You didn't pick up those instruments in one day and then suddenly, wow, you're just amazing at it. You put hours and hours and hours of practice into it. Honestly, you could even go to it just as basic as the very reason you're alive today is because you've done certain things consistently, right? You've eaten on a regular basis. You've slept on a regular basis. Otherwise, if you stopped eating or you stopped sleeping, you stopped drinking water, you would have died a long time ago. But somehow we get this idea when it comes to reading our Bible that it's like, hey, if you get to it, that's great, you know? And I'll admit, this is something I still struggle with. In the busyness of life, it is so easy to put off your Bible reading and to think that, it's okay. Today I can skip it. But if you are going to do something on a daily basis, you have to make it into a non-negotiable. The things in your life that you have done that are worthwhile and meaningful are things that you did not leave up to, hey, I'll do it if I feel like it, or I'll do it if everything else gets done and I'm sitting around the end of the day and I guess I'll read my Bible kind of an idea. No, you did those things. And of course, a lot of times our parents helped instill good habits in it. But, you know, because, no, I'm doing this. This is it's time to go to school. It's time to practice this. It's time to work on this, this whatever the sport or other thing that you might be doing. And we have to have that kind of a same mentality with God's word, that it is essentially eating and drinking, right? Which is the analogies the Bible uses a lot of, I have to do this every single day. This is what we make plans in our lives all the time around the things that we value most and the relationships that we value most. So if we want to be people who know that we are made by God and loved by God, and we really want to know God, then we have to consistently have a time and a place that we are going to be in God's word. You need to have a place. It needs to be a time that's going to be consistent, that you know it's going to work. It needs to be, generally, you need to have a place in mind of where you're going to be, that it's going to be quiet, that it's going to be uninterrupted. Typically, it's going to be a place where you need to get your phone far away from you. Now, I know sometimes you can use your phone to read the Bible and stuff like that, and there may be tools on there. But the problem is there's a lot of other things on your phone, that notifications popping up and all these other things. And I know there's things you can do to make the notification not come up. You can do what you find works for you. But it needs to be a consistent plan that you have to daily be in God's word. Because at the end of the day, the reason that we're not in God's word daily is not that we ran out of time. It comes down to what we value. If we're not in God's word on a daily basis, it's not because we're too busy. It's just a matter of, have we really made that a priority? There is a songwriter that Sarah and I enjoy listening to, and she put up on her social media a couple of years ago that she said, "I'm not going to be on social media at all in January." Because I've made it my practice the last couple of years to read through the Bible in January. And at first I thought she meant like read through the New Testament or read through a book of the Bible, but that's not what she meant. She actually reads through the whole Bible every January. It takes about 72 hours to read the Bible through cover to cover at a normal pace. Like if you get like an audio version of the Bible, that's about how long it takes. So if you take 3 or 4 hours a day, you could read through the Bible in a month. And this is convicting. It's convicting to me. I don't know how much TV and social media you guys do, but the average American watches 70 hours of TV every 2 weeks. That's the average American. So, and I'm not saying this to try to guilt us into, oh, you should be reading the Bible through every 2 weeks. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying that the issue is really not time. We typically think that time is the issue. Time is not the issue. What we really value is the issue. If you just listen to the Bible for 15 minutes a day, you can read the Bible through in a year. And there's a lot of different ways. There's a lot of people I know have found it really helpful to listen through the Bible on audio. That they list. Some people learn better and listen better that way. Maybe that's something you find out that works for you. For me, it doesn't. I get too distracted when I'm not the one reading it. But I know a lot of people that read the Bible that way. I would encourage you guys, and I think a lot of you guys probably already have resources and things like this, but get a good study Bible. Some of the reasons that we aren't really reading the Bible is that you're reading through and there's just a lot of stuff that we don't understand. And like, I'm a pastor, I went to school, like I've studied the Bible, and there's a lot of parts in the Old Testament that I'm reading and I'm like, I'm not really sure what's going on here. Like, I don't know who that is. I don't know what that geographic reference is to in the Old Testament. So find a really good study Bible that you enjoy, that will help you to be able to, because if you're not understanding it, it's gonna be hard to really stay in it. So, and here's the other thing that I would just encourage you guys with staying in God's word on a daily basis. There are times in your life to read for breadth, and there's times in your life to read for depth in the Bible. In other words, those Bible reading plans, whether it's, you know, you want to be really ambitious and read through the Bible in a month, you can do that. And you want to read through the Bible in a year, I think that's good. You need that overall exposure to see the story of the Bible as a whole and to be exposed to God's word on a regular basis. There's also an aspect of your Bible reading, though, that also needs to be depth, that you're meditating on it, you're enjoying it, it's filling your soul. It's you sitting at the feet of Jesus and enjoying his presence and just marveling at his goodness and his promises. So I just tell you that because there needs to be both. And I'll just tell you guys what I do is 1 year I read through the Bible in a year, and then the other year I read through just books of the Bible as I get a chance. And when it's a huge blessing to me and God's teaching me something, I just stop there and I read that verse, I read that chapter, and I just do it that way. What's interesting to me is when I'm reading the Bible through in a year, at least for me, one thing it shows me is that I don't read the Bible as much as I think I do. Because I'm like, all of a sudden you realize, oh yeah, well, I was sick for a couple of days, and then this huge emergency happened, and the other day I went to bed, I was super tired, and all of a sudden you realize, I really haven't been in God's word like I thought I was. So really reading for that breadth and getting across that, like, is good for you because it kind of holds you accountable and it pushes you into reading God's word more, so that you can really recognize, oh, okay, wait, you know, I need to be more diligent here. But I'll also say that a lot of times when I'm reading for breath, I do find myself just pushing through and I'm not getting as much out of it. So there's, on the other side of it, I look forward to those times and even those years when I am just kind of slowing down and meditating on it a little bit more. But how you can do both at the same time. You know, if you're reading through the Old Testament, read, and there's some parts in it that you're reading a lot of the census numbers and the different stuff, then be reading somewhere in the Psalms too, and find how that, whatever that works for you. But just know that there's both types, right? That there's that reading for the overall picture of Scripture, and then there's also drilling down and doing those more, taking time to meditate and really challenge your heart and in what you're reading. And honestly, there's going to be times, you know, and I think especially in suffering, where you really do need to be reading for depth. When you're going through a really hard trial, there's times when you're going through a trial and it's one sentence of Scripture that you're just holding on to with both hands. And so if that's, just know that that's a, both of those are ways to fill your life with God's word daily. There's a story that an evangelist, Robert Sumner, wrote in The Wonders of the Word of God. He told a story about a man in Kansas City who was severely injured in an explosion. And this man's face was badly disfigured. He lost eyesight in both of his eyes, and he lost both of his hands. And before this horrible accident, this man had just come to Christ, and he was bitterly disappointed that now he had no way of reading the Bible. Of course, this was back before there was the audio Bibles like there are today. And this man ordered a Bible in Braille. And when it came, he tried to read it, but the burns and his hands were so badly disfigured that he couldn't read the Braille. So then he had the idea that maybe he could read it with his lips. So he tried that, and he taught himself how to read the Bible in Braille with his lips. And when Robert Sumner wrote this book in 1969, that man had read through the entire Bible four times. So I just say, I don't say any of that to try and say, oh, you know, you should just be reading the Bible all the time. That's all. Because if you could just feel like that guilt of, oh, I just should be reading the Bible more. One, it could be a good guilt, but that guilt is not going to be what really pushes you into it. What pushes you into it is that you really want to know God for yourself. Like, this is a book you're basing your whole life on, and this is a book that you're going through things in your life that you need help with. So this is where you're going to find the answer. And if you make that decision that this is going to be a part of, this is going to be a part of my life, this is going to be a, not a part, this is what I'm going to build my life on, this is going to be my identity, then the issue is not time. I'm just saying the issue is what do we want to make time for? Then the last thing I'll just say here is we need to stay in God's word corporately. And I know that, in other words, we need to be hearing God's word together as the people of God. And I know in one sense, preaching to the choir here, I know that I'm looking at a lot of people that are, you know, you take notes. You guys, of course, have been listening so well this week, and I really appreciate that about you. And I encourage you to do that at your churches. I know probably for a lot of you, it's people, it might be your dads that are the one bringing the word. And I know for a lot of you, Sundays are probably a busy ministry day, right? You're busy doing a lot of things, helping out at the church, helping with your family, and maybe even you're helping in nursery. And those busy days, Sundays are busy days for pastors' families and missionaries' families and things like that. But in the chaos of all the other things going on a Sunday, remember that you need to be sitting underneath the word of God as it's being preached. And it just because it may be your dad preaching it, it doesn't mean any less that you don't need to hear the word of God. So, and I'll also say this, and I think I mentioned this before, but I'll just say it again, that you guys are going to reach a point in time in your life where you have a decision about what to do on a Sunday morning. And it's going to be Sunday morning, and you can sleep in because you stayed up late the night before, and no one's even going to be saying anything to you. And you have to make it, you have, you're building habits into your life now of what you truly value and what you really believe, so that when a point in time comes in your life when your parents aren't around and there's nobody else saying, hey, you have to go to church, you want to go be in God's word because you know that you need to be together with the people of God. So guys, if we're going to fill our life with God's word humbly, carefully, consistently, just notice as we close here what happens. James says you'll be blessed in your life. That if you continue in God's word, that's where real blessing and real wholeness is found. So, you fill your life with God's word because you want a life that is filled with Jesus, right? If you want to stay at the feet of Jesus, the way that you do that is by staying in the word. This is a book that ultimately points you to Jesus Christ. There's a children's book. I don't know if some of you guys may have seen it. It's called the Jesus Storybook Bible. Where they just kind of paraphrase different Bible stories for little kids. And there's a line in that book that says it well, that in the Bible, every story whispers his name. Every part of the Old Testament is pointing us to Jesus Christ. And in the New Testament, it's Jesus Christ being revealed to us. So Jesus is the one we want, and the way that we get there is through this book. So just as we close here tonight, let me just encourage you, don't be a forgetful hearer. What is God calling you to do in your life so that you can stay in God's word consistently? Because at the end of the day, if we're only reading our Bibles because we're supposed to, that's not going to last very long. You are going to stay in God's word on a regular basis because there's a person in this book that you want to know. And with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you want him. That's what's going to keep you in God's word. So let me just encourage you guys to stay in the word. You were made for this. And this is the place that you find the love of God. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. If you want to be reminded of his love, this is the place. This is where you find it. And this is the book that reminds us that God is, that we belong to God, right? That we are not our own. So let's sing that song together, and then we'll be done. If you want to grab a hymn book, turn to the back. Everybody find it? You might have gotten up. Yeah. Hopefully they're going that way.
The one who made the heavens made my heart and soul. Before I took a breath, I was loved and known. I am His creation, the Maker's masterpiece. And all that He designs will be done in me. I belong to the Lord, oh, I am not my own. I belong to the Lord, I am not my own. I will honor Him, for this I know. I belong to the Lord, I am not my own. My body is a temple of the living God. I'll worship in this house that His blood has bought. As I bear His image, oh, may I not profane the holiness I hold in this earthly frame. I belong to the Lord, oh, I am not my own. I belong to the Lord, I am not my own. I will honor Him, for this I know. I belong to the Lord, I am not my own. And if He has redeemed me, I am not my own. The measure of my worth is His love alone. He declares my standing, and He declares my state. So I will know myself by the name He gave. I belong to the Lord, oh, I am not my own. I belong to the Lord, I am not my own. I will honor Him, for this I know. I belong to the Lord, I am not my own. I am not my own, and now my heart is free. O Maker, come and make what You will of me. There is nothing broken that He cannot repair. So, Lord, I leave my life in Your loving care. I belong to the Lord, oh, I am not my own. I belong to the Lord, I am not my own. I will honor Him, for this I know. I belong to the Lord, I am not my own.
Amen. Thank you for singing that. I saw Andy just had to run downstairs. While he's doing that, I'll just make a quick comment. I love that phrase in that song, the measure of my worth is His love alone. Because a lot of times, our tendency, and I think you guys all know this, our tendency is to find our worth in something else. Our tendency is to find our worth in our performance. I can find my worth in ministry and serving the Lord. So that means that when ministry is going well, then I feel like I have worth. And when ministry is not going well, I don't feel like anything's good, right? You can find your worth in so many other things. And that I love that phrase, the measure of my worth is His love alone. To think about the fact that where you find your real value is in the fact that God loves you, and keep your eyes on that. There's good truth there, Andy.
Okay, thank you. Very good. Glad to hear.